All right. So glad you're here today. We're believing God's going to do some good things in each of our lives. Amen. We serve a good God, and, you know, we need to kind of remember that. I know life can be kind of tedious sometimes. You know, things go on. Sometimes things happen that's way out of our control. And how do we respond or handle those things? The message I'm going to talk today is going to be about living God's will. We're going to do a Thanksgiving message because we know what's happening this Thursday coming up. We're going to have Thanksgiving. And its subtitle would be Living Thankful in an Unthankful World. You know, we live in a world that is broken down in many ways. Things kind of going on. And if we're not careful, those things can have an effect on us. And I really think Thanksgiving is a great holiday. Just a great holiday. It reminds us of a very important principle that we need to have in life, and that's just plain and simple, is to be thankful. How important it is to be thankful. You know, we develop an attitude of gratitude, then we start to gain altitude in life. You'd be surprised at what kind of effect gratitude will have on our life, because many times we allow things to pull us back. Because we live in a negative world that's always trying to drag us down. And it takes faith to be thankful in an unthankful world. So how many times have we been having a good day and then you turn the news on? You know, and then, you know, that's why we need to make sure we tune into the good news. I'll be honest, I used to really enjoy the news first thing in the morning. And I would, you know, have my breakfast and I'd make it and I would go in there and watch the news. I'll tell you what, it just, I quit doing that several years ago and I have been so much happier. So much happier. I just stay away from all the drama and the trauma that they're trying to sell you. They try to sell you stuff, don't they? To be honest, and I don't want to get off on this, let's get a little off base, but sometimes you got to go outside the line, right? But really, the only news we get a lot of time is what they think we need to hear. There's a lot more stuff out there, but they just choose not to tell us. So they're trying to control us. I don't want to get off on that, though, should I? Better not. No, we better stay back on this, yeah. No. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Ghost, Pentecostal power, Holy Ghost leading, guiding, amen. So the passage I'm going to look at today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 18. I usually don't like to preach holiday sermons that great, because after you've done a few, you know, you've done them, you know, you've done it. But, you know, I really felt led to talk about Thanksgiving today. So the Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18, it says, verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for stirring us up on the inside that, Lord, we want everything that you have for us. Lord, help us not to be the kind of people that shrink back in despair and unbelief, but Lord, help us to be the people that press on in faith. No matter what comes our way, Lord, we're going to keep on going. Lord, I thank you for the anointing here. Lord, that's going to break every yoke of bondage on each of our bodies, Lord, over each of our minds. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, and I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory and pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this passage here has some character traits that you and I need to have working in our life if we're ever going to live out God's will. I don't know about you, but one of the prime directives, to quote a Star Trek term, is that I want to be in God's will. Whatever that is, I want to be in God's will. I want to follow God with all my heart, and wherever He leads me, there I'll go. Because I found out in my life that there's a sweet spot. Just like if you've ever hit a softball or a baseball, you know, if that ball hits the sweet spot of the bat, it goes a lot farther. And it's like that for us. If we hit the sweet spot of God's will, the center of God's will, we're going to go a lot farther with God. But to live in God's will, we first must need to love God's will. And that's important, that we fall in love with God's will and what the plan that He has for us. Well, this passage here starts off, and, you know, the way I see it, it's kind of a prayer sandwich, because you got prayer right in the middle of rejoice and be thankful. And we're going to first explore that a little bit. Well, it talks about rejoice or joy, and we're going to look at this a little bit, and we're going to look at it a little deeper in a minute. But, you know, as I see this, prayer is kind of sandwiched right between these two character traits and how important it is that we have those things if we're ever going to, you know, approach God and to talk to God. Some people get freaked out at prayer. You know, we have prayer meetings all the time, and, you know, a lot of times they're greatly attended, sometimes they're not. But prayer is this talking to God. It's this speaking to their Heavenly Father. And it's very simple. It's easy. You just talk from your heart. And we need to understand that concept and how that really works and develop our prayer life. I will say this. I found out in my personal walk with God that my prayer life has a large effect on everything that I do spiritually. You know, if I don't have my prayer life right, things don't really go as good as they could. So I encourage you, you know, to really, you know, contemplate that. And, you know, we're commanded here first to walk in joy. Now, joy and happiness are two different things. Sometimes we get them kind of mixed up because, to me, it's hard to tell joy and happiness apart in the good times. But in the bad times, happiness runs out and joy steps up, right? Because we are affected, our emotions, you know, deal with the happiness. Some people are happy by nature, some people are not, and some people are roller coaster, ba-boom, 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 you know what I mean? I'm happy, God is good. I'm not happy, God's forgotten me, you know what I mean? It's just like that, boom, 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 you know. But one thing about it, joy, if we see that, we understand what joy is, the joy of the Lord, it's a steady thing. It steps in. When things are going bad, you can still be joyful. You can still have the joy of the Lord in your heart no matter what's going on around you. You know, many times we strive for happiness, but really joy comes from the Lord. You know, a lot of people, you know, I talk to them or maybe I'm counseling and they say, well, why, you know, I said, why don't you want to do this no more? Well, it doesn't make me happy. Okay. So everything you do is about happiness. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous place to live if we just live by happiness. Sometimes sleeping in makes you happy, right? But sleeping in can get you fired also. So which one is it, right? So sometimes you got to have a balance and understand really how those things kind of integrate with each other and the importance, you know, that we have to understanding that because, you know, even though, like I say, you may feel unhappy, but the joy of the Lord, I mean, it doesn't matter what the world's doing around us. We can still have that joy, that confidence that God has come to give us, people. We can have a smile on our face even though things are falling down around us. Because that's the joy of the Lord. Now, true joy is not based on a feeling, but on a relationship with a person, and it's Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we start to understand that, and that's how we start to walk in that joy of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, and I think it's Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, that's how we get strong. You know, that joy can be a power that works in our life, and, you know, what amazes me is the fact that you and I can have easy access to that joy. Now, it's very costly. It cost the life of Jesus Christ to go to the cross, to be able to save us from our sins, to be able to deliver us from the things that hold us back because it cost God His only begotten Son. And, you know, I'm not happy that that had to happen, but I'm so joyful that Jesus Christ took my place. And I can have that relationship with God and how important that is. Then the other side of the prayer sandwich, we're talking about thanksgiving. You know, gratitude is an attitude. We can choose it, people. We can choose to have gratitude in our life. You know, sometimes I know that, you know, there's more month than money, right? And other months, there can be more money than month and everything's good. But in both ways, if we're grateful, just have a grateful heart. You know, and that's something that our culture, because we live in a time of entitlement, that everybody thinks I deserve this and I deserve that. And then if we live that in our mind, that thinking creeps over into our spiritual walk. And then, you know, we can have a wrong attitude, especially when it comes to, you know, seeking God and following the keys of the kingdom, you know. And gratitude is the way that we need to approach our Heavenly Father. Now, I know when kids are little, you know, it's gimme, 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 right? Sometimes. Not all the time. You know, maybe you got a real good kid. Now, I'm just going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Your kid is great, you know. But for the most part, a lot of kids, they learn selfishness pretty quick. They want it's mine. You know, when my little kids came to ask me for stuff, I understood that. But, you know, as my kids got older, I don't know about you, but I kind of wanted to be a little bit thankful. We didn't have a lot, but what we did, I just wanted to be thankful for it. Just thanks, Dad. You know, I drive the church van. I love that ministry. And anyway, a lot of kids don't know me as the pastor. They just know me as the bus driver. You know, that's my name. There's the bus driver, you know, and everybody's looking at me, you know. But anyway, it just blesses me when that kid gets out and says, thank you. Just something little as that, thank you. You know, just for giving us a ride. And thank you goes a long way, and it really goes a long way having that attitude of gratitude with our Heavenly Father. And that's how we need to approach him. So prayer sandwich, and being at prayers right in the middle, it kind of says pray without ceasing. Now, have you ever tried to pray all the time? That's kind of hard, isn't it? So I don't know if that's really what it's trying to say, but I think it's talking about always being in an attitude of prayer. You know, we can have that prayerful attitude that whenever, you know, God maybe speaks to us, you know, we can pray. You know, how would you like it? Some people, when they pray, they close their eyes. How would you like to be in a car with somebody and they're driving? You know what I'm saying? And let's pray. They say, let's pray. No, that's okay. You know, I'll pray. You drive. You know, you don't have to close your eyes every time you pray. You know, especially if you're driving, amen? Although some people it might be safer, right? I don't know. Got to stay on the road a little better. But anyway, you know, we want to develop that attitude of prayer. That if God needs somebody to pray, because he does. God, for whatever reason, chose to use you and I. And when God wants to have prayer and stuff like that, we know that Jesus makes intercession for the saints and the Holy Spirit wants to pray through us. But, you know, God wants to use his church, his people, his bride, to want to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So consider it an opportunity and really a blessing when God touches your heart to pray. That means God, it's a blessing for you. That's how God sees you, as being responsible. You're one of his people that God can count on. Amen? That's what we want to be. We want to be, God, here I am, use me. So we need to be at the Holy Spirit's disposal. You know, and it talks, a lot of time we get all hung up on time. Now, time is important. But, you know, prayer is not measured by how much we pray, but how we pray. We need to pray in faith. Now, how many people here have had somebody ask them, hey, I need prayer? And you know, I'm an emoji man. You know, it's really quick. Just hit a picture. I'm big about putting the prayer hands and responding. You know, I mean, that's my thing. Yeah, I suppose everybody else does that too. I don't know. Am I the only one? Probably not. But we need to pray. We need to really pray, don't we? If we're going to say we're going to pray, we need to pray. And pray for that situation. And pray that, you know, God's will be done. And how God, you know, a lot of people need some miracles. So how we pray, we need to pray in faith. We need to pray responsibly. We need to pray believing that God is listening. You know, one of the youth the other day, bless her heart, they said something really kind of interesting. That we were there and I was talking about prayer and different things, and you know, I asked this person, I said, don't you have a prayer request? And they said, God's kind of busy for me. And I looked at that and wow, that's how they see that. You know, if you really let your mind wander, I mean, there's a lot of people out there praying right now. But I told them, I said, God can handle it. God can hear us all at the same time and still answer every prayer. That's how big our God is. But see, they didn't get that concept yet. They're not there yet. They think that, well, maybe I'm not as important as somebody else, or my prayer is just so small. There's no use bothering God with that. But see, we need to throw that thinking out so that we know that our Heavenly Father, you know, it would break my heart if my kids, if I felt like, you know, they couldn't come and ask me something. You know what I mean? That they thought I was too busy for them. And so we don't want to really develop that attitude with our Heavenly Father because, you know, God can handle it. So prayer also is not about a time clock, you know, but about spending time with the Lord. And it's important that we understand that. So just don't get locked into the clock and do that. Habitual praying is a great prayer habit. So we just get in the habit of praying. It's just something. I have a routine. I'm sure most of you guys do too. I do my thing in the morning. I wake up, I read the Word, and I pray. Just like that. And, you know, sometimes I mess up. The only time I mess up is when I step too late. You know, something's got to give, right? So, but for the most part, I love to go to bed at a decent time, and I love to get up early. Nobody's bothering me. Nobody's, you know, messing, you know, texting me, as for the most part. Every now and then I'll get a late night text or something. You know, I can't remember what one we got the other day. It was kind of wild. I said, you do know it's 3 o'clock in the morning, don't you? I mean, come on. You know, it wasn't that important. But, you know, but to spend that time with God and just get that that God connection going. You know what I mean? Because I'll be honest, if I don't have my God connection, I can't handle everything. You know what I mean? There's some people in life I can't handle without prayer. Come on, somebody. Shout amen right now. Amen? Come on. And, you know, there's some people. I just need prayer, man. I need to have that. I need the shield, the armor, and everything going on. You know, because I just do. Well, next point we want to see here is the idea I want to look at. We'll spend more time on joy or rejoice. Rejoice. You know, maybe you found this out, I know I have, but we can't look to any other person other than God to be our source of joy. I mean, a lot of people try that, don't they? You know, maybe there's your wife or your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, good friend, and you know, you just look to them and you know, you want them to be your source of joy, and they just can't do it. They can't be there 24/7. And they're going to have some days. You know what I mean? And, you know, how many's known all those things that you loved about somebody? Then all of a sudden, after you're married to them, you live with them a while? Man, that's irritating, right? No, I'm just kidding. My wife's setting the way back today. I feel pretty safe up here. I've never seen her set back there before. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, you know, so you don't want to put that kind of pressure on somebody else. Right? You know, and there's people that have done that. They sort of have a codependent personality a little bit going on. For whatever reason, they were kind of affected as a kid and maybe didn't get the love they needed, but that's why, you know, we have a Heavenly Father and we have a church family, you know, to hopefully help straighten some of that stuff out. But, you know, we just can't put that kind of pressure on somebody. We have to develop that relationship with God because that's really, you know, where the joy comes from. Because, you know, we all know we have certain people in our life that kind of drag us down. Sometimes we live around a Debbie Downer or a Bobby Bummer. How many has those in your family? Don't raise your hand. You know, how many have one as a friend, right? We all got somebody like that that just, everything about us is negative. Just, oh man, it's just negative all the time. There's nothing good. You know, and I know people like that need some ministry sometimes, but after a little while, dude, you got to snap out of it, right? Come on, life ain't that bad. You know, there's some people facing some major challenges in life, and they have a good attitude. So we need to look at that as an example. Here's how I see it. If I see somebody doing something better than I am, I say, man, they can do it, I can do it, right? If they can do it, I can do it. So I don't want to have that negative, you know, the negative Nelly. I never wrote her down, but she's one of those too. But, you know, how all those things kind of come in because, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, but that negativity will try to rob us of our strength. It'll try to drain it just right out of us. And If we live around that all the time, constant, it can be really draining and exhausting. So we need to find a way of turning that around. And sadly, you know, negativity can be a little bit contagious. Have you noticed people at work, somebody starts talking at the water cooler or wherever they hang out now, and they start talking trash about the boss or about the company and all these things that are going on. Before you know it, they've drawn a crowd. I mean, they're the town crier. They're going to lead a revolt, a rebellion. You know, they're Braveheart. You know, let's go get it. You know, but that's what it does. That negativity just draws those sort of things. And, you know, we need to be able to not, you know, really succumb to those kind of things. See, joy is not based on the scoreboard, but on the love of the game of life that God has given us. I just love life. You know, sometimes you can look at the scoreboard and you might be behind right now. But that doesn't matter. Have you ever played a game, even though you were losing, you just loved it? Just love the game. Just love the play. And see, that's how we need to look at life, man. I just, you know, hey, I'll be honest. There's some days I would like to be in heaven, you know. After, you know, very seldom, once or twice a year, you know, things kind of get piled up on me. And I say, man, boy, it'd be nice to be a Jesus right now, you know. But I don't go out and do anything to expedite the situation, you know, because I know God put me here for a reason. I just need to suck it up, buttercup, and, you know, fall in line and march. That's just the way it is. But for the most part, I just love to be in the game. I just love life. I love what God's called me to do. And I hope you do too. I hope you love what you're doing. And, you know, being able to make a difference in somebody else's life and how important that is. You know, the impact that we can make if we choose to. The Bible says we're to count it all joy. It says that in James. And you know, sometimes it's hard. See, holding on to joy in the face of trials is how we grow in Christ. You know, the enemy tries to rob our joy. He tries to steal from us. He tries to get us off base and get us to focus on those other things. And then that's what makes us kind of stumble. There's an old saying that I heard right after I got saved is if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your stuff. But that's what he's after. He's after our stuff. He's after our families. He's after all these things. But see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we choose to walk in that, it's like a power that surrounds us, the power of joy, that it doesn't matter what you say to me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. My joy is in Jesus Christ. My joy is in what God has done for my life. And I take pride in that. I love my Father, my Heavenly Father. I love all the things that He's done for me. You know, a lot of people love me, but nobody has ever loved me like Jesus loved me. And that goes a long ways, you know, in my life. You know, see, when we're talking negatively, I believe that we're talking away our blessings from God. Did you know you can, it's like a repellent. You know, if you had mosquito problems, a lot of people spray that stuff on them or do different things. Why? You don't want those things coming around. But like negatively, it's like if you rub, you know, something that mosquitoes like all over your body. They're just going to attack you. And see, that's what it's like when we start talking negatively. We repel the blessings of God. They can't get through. Because we're so far over into the other realm. See, when we give in to the temptation of negativity, you know, we're operating in the world system and not God's system. See, there's only two systems at work here on the earth right now. We got God's system, the law of sowing and reaping, you know, how all that works. And love your enemies. Did I leave that part out? That's a tough one, ain't it? You know, love your enemies. But then also, as well as God's system, we have the world system. And that world system really is ran by Satan, the god of this world. And it's all about selfishness and about getting what I want to make me happy. See, those are the two worlds. You say, well, no, I have my own system. No. If you're not in God's system, you're in the devil's system by factory default. That's just the way it is. We are born into the devil's system. That's why we had to be born again. Nobody is born a Christian. You know, we are separated from God. You know, even if you think you're perfect, and I don't care what your mama told you are not perfect, right? And you can probably ask one of your friends, and You know, is there any way in my life I'm not perfect? You know, hope you got a few minutes to listen, right? But see, all these things, and because we're born in that system that rebelled against God, and it's more cares about self than it does about, you know, other people and things like that. So that's why we have to be born again. And when we're born again, we're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's not automatic. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm an American, so I must be a Christian. No, that's not how it works. When I did missionary work, we did a lot of it in Greece, and Greece has the Greek Orthodox Church, and it's the state church, okay? So we'd about be witnessing, and, you know, a lot of the young people, they could speak English, so that's who I primarily went to. But, you know, we'd be witnessing to them. I still remember the face of this young man. We was talking, and I said, hey, do you know Jesus? And da-da-da-da, just going off some things. Yeah. She says, I'm a Christian. I said, how do you know? Well, he got out his wallet, and he took out this little piece of paper that said he was a Christian. And I said, are you a Christian on paper, or are you a Christian in your heart? And he got it. He says, I'm a Christian on paper. Not in my heart. That's why we need a change of heart. The Bible says we need a new heart. That only comes by surrender, to surrender into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how important that is. Now, he never prayed with me that day, but I hope he got it right. You know, just because, you know, we're born into a certain country or a certain thing doesn't mean it's automatic. So, the idea of how this negativity works is like the news or the media gain more listeners by selling bad news. And that's why they do it. They just sell the bad news. People tune in. What's going wrong with this country or this president or that president? You know, they just try to sell that stuff to get people to buy in. To me, negativity is like when a piece of fruit gets a bruise on it. Have you ever had that? You know, like an apple. I'm on an apple eating kick right now. I got these Honeycrisp apples. I just been eating. Just love them. But what I don't like is when you get an apple, it's got a bruise on it, and then you bite into that. How many has bit into that soft spot? Man, I feel cheated. You know, when I bite into that soft spot, oh my gosh. Some reason I just don't like rot. You know what I mean? You know, because when that bruise, if you don't cut that little bruise off, that apple is going to rot. And it's going to affect the apples around it. So we've got to deal with that. That negativity is that like rottenness. And it makes everything rotten. And so we need to be able to cut that stuff out of our life. And to be able to start doing other things. No, and you know, stop chasing happiness and go after contentment. I know these two words, if you Google them, they're synonyms a little bit. But when I think about happiness and contentment, I see them as two different things a little bit. You know, happiness to me is more like a feeling. You know what I mean? You get happy. You're smiling usually or something like that. But contentment to me is something that's on the inside. When you're content. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, he said he can be content in all things. Sometimes he had enough food to eat. Sometimes he didn't. He's still content. And see, we need to develop that trait in our life where we're just not moved by the situations and circumstances, you know, all around us. So to me, contentment doesn't come from possessions, but from whom who possesses us. I'm content that I'm in relationship with my Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. I'm happy with that. The last point I want to get to here is talking about thanksgiving or giving thanks. Give thanks. You know, like I said, it's kind of cool having this holiday. I mean, it's nice. You just get to eat food and spend some time with family or friends. You know, Christmas used to bum me out a little bit after I got saved. Because, you know, Jesus had to share it with these other people, you know what I mean? That bummed me out, you know? I hated that, you know? Here God gave the greatest gift, and all we're concerned about is getting given gifts, you know what I mean? You know, but Thanksgiving don't have any of that baggage, that extra stuff. You know, hypothetically, you don't give gifts at Thanksgiving as a rule. You just kind of hopefully cook a good turkey, and then you, I like a little cranberry sauce with it. You know, I don't know. I only eat cranberry sauce once a year. You know, I don't know. It's not my thing, but, you know. Mom used to make me this cranberry salad. Somehow I must have made a comment one time that I liked this, and she made it every year. You know, it's got all these marshmallows and all these calories in it, you know. Then I found out she made it just for me. You know, so I'd always make sure I ate some. You know, I liked it, but, you know, as you get a little older, you kind of cut back on that stuff. But, you know, so Thanksgiving or giving thanks is really about relationship with other people. And I think it's a time that you and I hope you do this week, is to maybe take inventory. Have you ever taken inventory in your life? We know that businesses do it. You know, like the grocery stores, you ever seen them carrying those little handheld things or typing everything in, making sure what they got, and they want that to, you know, you figure the computer up front would take care of all that, but sometimes things happen, so somebody's got to go through and count all that stuff and make sure it's there. And so I think sometimes you and I need to count our blessings. You know, count what's a blessing in your life. You know, what are we really thankful for? What is it that we have, you know? Because, you know, we usually make the mistake of focusing on what we don't have instead of what we do have. You know, I think of kids sometimes. You give them so much, but then all of a sudden, you know, they say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. And that's all they see is what they don't have. But see, if we could just turn that and start to look at what we do have, because it's like a snowball. Have you ever seen them cartoons where the snowball starts at the top of the hill and it rolls, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger? Well, that's what it's like when we start to get into an attitude of gratitude. We're thinking about Thanksgiving. You know, we kind of get on a roll. Then we start to see the blessings just start to chase us down. And, you know, we need to, you know, stop, you know, maybe taking things for granted. You know, we live in such a blessed country. Earlier I talked about how, you know, a lot of people are hurting financially, you know, the last several years, especially with inflation and, you know, all the things that's going on. And, you know, was it groceries are up 20% or something, they said. And, you know, and the heat and electric and water and all these things are so high. You know, so, but still, you know, there's people that don't have water to drink. Now, we may have to pay a little bit for it, but at least it's clean-ish, right? No. I got a water purifier. I'm good. You know. But, you know, we need to see, because we do have so much, and we need to focus on the good things and not take stuff for granted. And that just comes by that, you know, what we call an attitude of gratitude. And being able to walk in that, because it's so easy for negativity to come on us. You know, and when things maybe we get disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed? You know, maybe you're hoping something was going to happen, and it just didn't happen. Maybe you wanted this job. You just didn't get that job. Maybe you want somebody to like you, and they don't like you. So all those things can come in, and they can start to rob us, you know, of our joy, or try to. I mean, like I said, happiness is the first thing to go. But that joy will stay, people. Just hold on to that joy. And what I've found, it's hard to be hateful when we are grateful. It's hard to be hateful when we are grateful. Because there's so much hate. There's so many things in this world that try to cause us to pick sides. You know what I mean? You know, I just talked to somebody the other day, and we was talking about something, and, you know, I ain't going to say what it was, but, you know, they said, well, everybody else is doing that. And I says, well, I pride myself in not doing what everybody else does. You know, just because everybody else is doing something doesn't automatically mean I'm going to do it. I'm going to think this out. I'm going to make sure that's something I want to be a part of. And, you know, I've lived like that my whole life and still here. Probably don't have as many friends as I could have had, but what the heck, you know? I'm still hanging in there. So we are to give. Now, this is really the meat of what I wanted to get to. It's just a little play on words, but it's very important. The Bible says that we are to give thanks in all things and not for all things. There's a difference. One phrase that really trips my trigger every now and then, and I hear it, I've heard it probably at least 10 times in the last month around people, is that everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean? Everything happens for a reason. So to me, be careful of the everything happens for the reason lie. Because here's what I find out. There is a God, but there's also a devil. And not everything that happens in our life is from God. We live in a war zone. It's a combat zone. There's a fight going on between light and darkness right now, and we're in the middle. We're the church. We're the army of God. And God's called us to go forth and fight. But it's hard to fight against something if you think it's from God. Right? If you believe God brought this bad thing to you to teach you a lesson, well, by golly, we better just sit there and learn it. You know what I mean? And we won't resist. But the Bible says explicitly to resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I know that not everything happens for a reason. Sometimes things happen because I know somebody that hates me. And it's the devil. Because he hates the Jesus Christ inside of me. He hates everything that I stand for. And with that, I know I draw some attention. Right? It happens. So we need to be ready and understand who the real enemy is and what we need to do. And as we close and we look at these things, you know, these three things have something in common. We're commanded to do them all the time. It says, rejoice always, not sometimes. It says to rejoice always. Then it says to pray without ceasing. That means be ready to pray at any time. And then also it says, in everything give thanks. I don't thank God for the bad things I go through, but I thank God that God's going to bring me through. I'm old enough in the Lord to know that God will probably never deliver me out of everything, but God will deliver me through everything. He will bring me through it. I have confidence in that. Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. Never. He'll never leave us dry. We're going to go through some things, people, but he's with us every step of the way. And we need to look to him, and we need to be consistent. The biggest thing that we need to do is to make sure that we're consistent in our walk with the Lord. And that transfers into every area of our life and all that entails in being consistent in everything that we do. Amen? All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you so much for the stirring of your Spirit in each of our hearts today. Lord, we know that we live for such a time as this, and we know that we live in a world that wants to stop us, wants to thwart us from fulfilling everything God's called us to do. First thing, I just want to say we need to be in God's will. And God's will says that you must be born again. I want to give opportunity here today. If you never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, or maybe you have asked Jesus in your heart and you're what we call kind of fell away, and you're saying, yes, that's me, I want to come back. I want to come back today. We'd like to pray with you. We want you to make your peace with God. So that's speaking to your heart. Just slip up your hand. We'd like to pray with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you for each and every hand raised, Lord. We just thank you for that commitment as they reach their hand to you, Lord. They're saying, here I am. I want to come back to you. I want to be in right relationship with you. Lord, we pray that they just get rid of that excess baggage. All those things that try to hold them back. They just let go of it and let you have it. Lord God, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus, that washes us and makes us clean. Lord God, thank you so much for the fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here today, every head bowed and eye closed. I just want to, maybe you struggle with negativity in your life. Maybe you were raised around it. You just can't get, you can't shake it. You want to say, hey, here I am. I want to get rid of that negativity. Amen. 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 Father God, we just break that bondage right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that negative attitude and that negative spirit, Lord, we just put it under our feet in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you that replacing that negativity is gratitude. Lord, I thank you. Change perspective. Change the way we see. Help us not to focus on the wrong, but Lord, to look to the right. Lord, to be able to follow you and see everything that you're doing in our life, Lord. Lord, help us to take inventory of the blessings, the things that you're doing in each of our lives, Lord, to be able to turn this around. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to give us victory over the devil. And we claim that victory right now in Jesus' name. Amen.